Hello, this is your Polycast for Thursday, August 28th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, the federal government alleges discrimination over the rejection of a mosque, Franken and McFadden at the state fair, and the gubernatorial candidates on transportation funding. Counterterrorism officials say they're focused on preventing more Minnesota men from traveling to Syria to join radical Islamic groups, but they say identifying them is a challenge. Laura Ewan reports.
The death of former Twin Cities resident Douglas MacArthur McCain in Syria has heightened concerns about the threat of extremist ideology here in the U.S. FBI spokesman Kyle Loven says the Bureau has concentrated much of its outreach efforts in the Somali American community, where religious and civic leaders are on the lookout for disaffected young men who may be vulnerable to recruiters. But McCain was African American, suggesting the targets could be anybody.
It's hard to predict who will find the message of jihad and the call to jihad to fight overseas. It's very difficult to predict, you know, with any certainty, for whom that message will resonate.
Loven says a handful of Twin Cities men have traveled to Syria to fight for the insurgents. Laura Ewan, Minnesota Public Radio News.
The U.S. Justice Department is accusing St. Anthony Village of illegally denying a permit for a mosque. In a lawsuit filed yesterday, the U.S. Attorney for Minnesota says the 2012 City Council decision violated anti-discrimination laws. City officials say it was appropriate to keep worship services out of an office building. Brant Williams has more.
2 years ago, the St. Anthony Village City Council voted 4-1 to deny the Abu Huraira Islamic Center a conditional use permit to operate a mosque in the basement of an office building. At the time, city officials said the city's zoning code didn't allow religious worship in buildings zoned for light industrial use. However, U.S. Attorney Andy Luger says in the past, the city granted a similar permit for a Christian organization.
In 2008, the city council unanimously approved a conditional use permit for a church, the Twin Cities Christian Association, to operate in a business center in the commercial zone.
St. Anthony Village City Attorney Jay Hilgren says the city did not deny the mosque's permit based on the religion of its worshipers. Hilgren says the city is trying to reserve its light industrial areas for specific enterprises.
Religious uses are allowed in the vast majority of the city, and they're welcomed of any faith, just not within that small part of the city, which is reserved for job creation and to be the economic engine of the city.
According to the complaint, the leaders of Abu Huraira had been searching for 3 years for a space large enough to accommodate its hundreds of mostly Somali members. They chose the St. Anthony Business Center on Old Highway 8 because it had room in its basement for services and a large enough parking lot to accommodate its growing membership. The mosque's president says he's grateful the U.S. attorney filed the lawsuit and says it's been frustrating for the members not to have a central place to worship. Ellen Longfellow is a civil rights attorney for the group Council on American Islamic Relations, or CARE, which also welcomes the Justice Department's intervention.
We are pleased to hear about this action in support of religious freedom, and we hope that it will be resolved quickly so that they'll be able to, the local community will be able to use the Islamic Center for its needs.
Longfellow says the case in St. Anthony is one of several in the past 2 years where proposed mosques faced backlash from community members. She says mosque proposals in Blaine, Plymouth, Wilmer, and Bloomington were eventually approved. U.S. Attorney Luger says there's no evidence of personal bigotry by members of the St. Anthony Village City Council, and he says the lawsuit will be resolved if the council reverses its previous decision and grants the permit for the mosque. Brant Williams, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
If you're a candidate running for statewide office in Minnesota, there is no better place to be at this time of year than the state fair. Reporter Mark Zedeklik has been spending time with Senator Al Franken and his Republican challenger Mike McFadden as they meet voters from across the state at the fair. Here's Mark's report on what the candidates are saying and what voters are telling them.
DFL Senator Al Franken has no problem attracting attention at the fair. All he has to do is show up at his booth and a decent-sized line of well-wishers forms. Handshakes, hugs, and picture-taking ensue.
3, 2, 1.
Among the Franken fans on this afternoon was 70-year-old Joe Hatcher of White Bear Lake.
Senator, how you doing?
Very good.
You know, if you have trouble backing anything up, Just come to me. Within a week, I'll have you back in a semi around the block.
The backing up comment is a reference to this Mike McFadden ad featuring a Franken lookalike struggling unsuccessfully to back a boat trailer into a lake.
Here in Minnesota, there's a right way and a wrong way. And Al Franken keeps missing the mark.
The ad criticizes Franken for almost always voting with President Obama's agenda. Hatcher says he's not pleased with President Obama, but that he thinks Franken has been a good senator, especially when it comes to promoting job training programs.
I think he's pretty straightforward. It's kind of ironic. You see a comic turning into what he made satire out of, but he's doing a pretty good job of it.
To be clear, Franken says the McFadden ad is inaccurate.
I used to have a trailer hitch on when I mowed the lawns for St. Louis Park, and so I'm pretty good backing up a trailer.
Franken is also making the case that he's pretty good at working with Republicans amid criticism that he's one of the most partisan Democrats in Washington.
Dang, we got us a crowd. Perhaps it's the fact that Senator Al Franken is sitting right next to me.
Here's Franken making the case that he's not a rubber stamp for Obama on a radio broadcast.
You know, I've disagreed with the president plenty of times on certain trade things, on NSA surveillance. I'm arguing with the administration on the renewable fuel standard right now. I have my differences with the administration.
On the other end of the fair, Mike McFadden is on the radio, too. He's taping a segment on a conservative AM talk station.
Mike McFadden, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, is here at the Minnesota State Fair.
McFadden criticizes Franken for not agreeing to more than three debates. As a person dressed in a chicken suit jumps around in front of the studio with a sign that reads, Al Franken, too chicken to debate.
Al Franken doesn't want a debate. He doesn't want a debate because he doesn't want Minnesotans to know his stance and what the poor track record and lack of results.
McFadden is also getting plenty of attention at the fair, even if supporters aren't necessarily lined up to get a snapshot with him. And while Democrats might bristle at McFadden's boat ramp ad, it seems to be popular with Republicans.
We like your commercials. We especially like the one with the backing the boat into
the
water.
Oh, isn't that great? Yeah.
That's 52-year-old Rose Croning of St. Paul talking to McFadden. She says his ads are clever. She also likes his call for a smaller, less expensive, and less intrusive federal government.
I believe he is for less intervention in government and to decrease the deficit.
Croning says she also agrees with McFadden that the Affordable Care Act, which she calls Obamacare, should be repealed. Early polling suggests Franken is heading into the November election with a lead over McFadden, but McFadden supporter Ed Egan of Minnetonka says McFadden is a good candidate who has a shot at defeating Franken.
We are a Democratic state, I think, and so it'll be hard to unseat Franken, but he barely won last time, as we all know, and so I think it's a good possibility that he can do it.
And just like Franken used an unpopular President Bush to help bring down Republican Senator Norm Coleman 6 years ago, Republicans hope discontent with President Obama now will help them bring down Franken in November. Mark Zedeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News at the State Fair.
A major issue facing whoever wins the campaign for governor is how to finance future transportation projects. Transportation experts say the current funding system is not keeping pace with the need. Tom Scheck has a look at the problem and what the candidates for governor are saying about how they would fix it.
The campaign for governor has focused mostly on jobs, taxes, and health care. But there's another issue that the next governor has to address: transportation. And those whose jobs depend on good roads, bridges, and transit say the issue has been ignored long enough.
It seems like it has definitely fallen amongst deaf ears for the most part. It just hasn't felt that there's been much of a sense of urgency whatsoever.
Dean Meyer is the vice president of UFC Farm Supply, an agricultural cooperative based in Maple Plain. His company delivers heating oil and propane, fertilizer, and light equipment like skid steer loaders to customers across southern and western parts of the state. Meyer says he and his drivers know the transportation system firsthand and don't believe it's working well.
The rougher roads, basically, if you're going on them at the normal speed limit, you're going to run it through its life cycle faster because you're hitting bumps faster.
So they'll slow down, they'll drive even slower, which takes away from your efficiency and your ability to, you know, deliver product in a timely fashion.
Meyer says there are also problems with roads that shift back and forth from two lanes to four lanes. He said the lane shifts cause bottlenecks that slow his drivers down. Meyer's concern about the condition of the roads and the plea for new construction is a dilemma for policy leaders. The Minnesota Department of Transportation is projecting a $12 billion shortfall to maintain the current road and bridge system over the next 20 years. To make matters worse, MnDOT projects gas tax revenue, the largest funding stream for road and bridge projects, will decline as people drive less and cars become more fuel efficient. During his first term, Governor Dayton declined to make any changes to transportation funding. In fact, he repeatedly rejected calls for a gas tax increase to help pay for more projects. But he said he would make transportation a key issue in a second term. Dayton, who has said he has no plans to raise other taxes if he wins, won't rule out a tax increase to pay for transportation projects.
There's no free lunch. The federal government's not going to be increasing its investment in highways and roads and bridges and public transit to any significant degree. So it's going to have to come from within.
Dayton wouldn't specify whether he would support a gas tax hike, a sales tax dedicated to transportation, or other alternatives. He said, however, that he wants the public and the legislature to consider the options before the 2015 legislative session.
These people will say that we're going to be able to increase our investment in transportation and at no additional cost to anybody are just, you know, living in another planet.
No, we don't need a gas tax increase. I don't think we need a revenue increase at all in Minnesota.
Dayton's Republican opponent, Jeff Johnson, says the transportation problem could be solved by reprioritizing spending.
All the energy and focus now is on every form of transportation but roads and bridges, whether it's light rail or commuter rail or high-speed rail or streetcars or bike trails or sidewalks or something else, everything has moved above it on the list of priorities, and that's backwards. Our priorities have to be on our roads and bridges, and if we do that, there will be plenty of money.
Hannah Nicolet, the Independence Party candidate for governor, isn't ruling out a tax hike to pay for transportation projects, but first, she says transportation funding should be focused on roads and bridges.
We pool all the money and we just reprioritize it to roads and bridges, and if we end up short at the end of the day, you know, after majoring in the majors, then we can look at a gas tax increase.
The legislature will also have a major say in determining transportation funding. Republicans have resisted tax hikes of any kind, and the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce says it won't support a revenue increase until MnDOT can demonstrate it's using the money it has now as efficiently as possible. Tom Scheck, Minnesota Public Radio News.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.